When they put that wooden thing on your tongue and you said, say ah, ah. Well, God says, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And that's the thing we're going to think about this morning. The psalm reminds us that if we need to be reminded, how great is God's love to you and me, towards even those, you know, who've perhaps let him down, like me, time and time again. But through all our disappointing and through all letting God down, he says, open up your mouth and I will fill it. The truth of this promise is that Almighty God wants to bless you and me as we faithfully follow him. Yet this promise is not a magic formula or an open contract, you know, to kind of receive what we want, whenever we want it, and just why we want it. Yet God is kind, generous, and merciful. He does want to fill us and satisfy us with all the good things that come from his loving hands. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. In this psalm, God allows the Israelites to go their own way, do their own thing, stubbornly and selfishly pursue their own desires when they should have been following him. Well, I've been there many times through my life. How about you? He does not keep us from rebelling. That's amazing, isn't it? Why? Because we've got that magic thing called a free will. And we can do what we like. We can go where we want. But with that comes consequences. On Monday, the 12th of June, in our Daily Bread was the story of a young woman who was a fantastic skater. She was planning for the 2022 Winter Olympics. It was said that her success as a figure skater was unparalleled. She had artistic freedom, you know, as you do. And her creativity, they said, would show artistic freedom, creativity, and they knew that she was in line for the gold. It was hers. But it wasn't. And why was that? You see, the pressure and the expectation. Have you ever had that? I've never had that, to have so much pressure put on me that I really worried about things. You see, she broke the golden rule that time. Because she took her banned substance and her Olympic dreams went away with the broken rule. Everything we do has consequences. How many times have we heard our children or our family members tell us, well, I've heard it, you can't tell me what to do. I'll do what I like. It's familiar, isn't it? Yeah. Open your mouth wide, God says, and I will fill it. But it's not only our children. We did it when we were children. This psalm is a holiday hymn. celebrating the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. God's goodness versus Israel's waywardness. God is our deliverer in spite of our wanderings. Isn't he good to us? Isn't he absolutely good to us, no matter what happens to us? Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. The first Sunday of June was taken by Derek. It was Trinity Sunday, and we were taken through Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that all of us here were able to understand a little better. I'm going to close June with not only what we know about God's most Holy Spirit, but how God would gift his most Holy Spirit to mankind. There are many down the years who have seen God's Spirit in action. We've read wonderful stories of the Spirit's work. In these days, I know the world's upside down, but God is still working. He's still moving. Please don't forget it. Don't let the print in the newspapers get to us too much that we start to worry. My friend doesn't have a paper anymore next door. She doesn't watch the news anymore. She says it upsets her too much. Okay. But then we can't see God in action, can we? Because he's there. It only seems to happen in someone else's story. And maybe Jesus is saying to everybody here this morning at Roman Road, why not you? Why doesn't it happen to you? Why not me? The promise of the Almighty is, you open and I will fill it. We shrink back many times from allowing Jesus to having his way with us, our families and fellowships. We know and believe what Christ said to his disciples in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That statement has caused so much resentment because many think Christianity is too inclusive and exclusive in times. In reality, the way to Almighty God, you know, they said the road is too narrow. No, the road is to fit the whole world in. That's God's road. It's wide enough for everybody. We don't need to keep banging a drum and telling them what they should and shouldn't be doing. They just need to know. Just one line. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And let them sort that bit out. You know, the love of God is so wide for the whole world, then now, in the future, for all those who accept Christ as their Saviour. As the way, Jesus is our path to our Heavenly Father. He provides clear direction to God. And as the truth, he is the reality of all God's promises to me and to you and all who believe. As the life, this is wonderful. He joins in a most wonderful way his divine life to ours, both now and eternally. God said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill. Rise up, Holy Spirit. Rise up and fill me. In Acts 1:8, it says, fill me, Holy Spirit, with power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit... And these are the words of Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We might not realize it when we wake up in the morning that God has important work for you and me and all who love the Lord Jesus. But like the early disciples, we can't do it on our own. Fill us, Lord, with your most Holy Spirit, with your power. May we all pray that God's power and God's timing as well. Jesus had instructed his disciples to witness to people of all nations, spreading the good news about him. I can hear the disciples saying, "Let's go." And they were told, "Wait. Wait." I don't like waiting. Maybe because I've no patience. That's one thing I haven't got. It really is. If anybody drives with me in the car, they know. But, you know, it's a waste of time. Why do I have to wait? You hear children saying, "Why do I have to wait till Christmas for a bike?" You know, you've got to wait. They don't understand you've got to save up for it. Why did I have to wait for this, that, and the other? Why couldn't it? Because it wasn't around. Man, there was nothing around when I was little. You know, we really do, truly, have to wait and wait upon the Lord. He not only renews strength, he renews waiting power. We often kind of run ahead of the Lord, but waiting is sometimes in God's plans. You know, we have been told to wait. They were told in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. You start at home. And that's a biggie, to start at home. If your family don't, I'm not saying they don't believe, but they don't do much about it. But you start at home and you don't preach at them. You're just there for them. You're there for when they say, "Mom." And it's that kind of a "Mom" that you know there's something gone wrong. And you can help, not by saying, "Well, it's your own fault. Don't come here with your problems. It's your own fault. Get out." No. What can I do? And then it's Judea. That's your neighbours. I have some good neighbours. And then Samaria, further afield. It's how we act when we are outside the church, our home, and outside our we're strangers. Many, many years ago, I was in a queue at an airport. I think it was Marion and, who was the other one? Marion and Dorothy. We'd gone to Cyprus. And this man kept pushing behind us with his trolley in the queue. And I just said, "Please don't do that." I said, "You're catching me at the back of the legs. I don't want to wait. They should hurry up." But he pushed and pushed. Anyway, I said, "Luke, go ahead." He didn't get far because they found a penknife in his pocket. So that he was there for about half an hour and we went past. But you see, sometimes it's good to wait. You know, wherever we are, just be with Jesus. And we don't need a huge Bible. They used to carry big Bibles, didn't they? I used to have one for my family, one for somebody else's family that they were going to throw away, and I couldn't abide for them to throw the word away. So I had it. These great big Victorian jobs. It's still upstairs somewhere. I don't think I could pick it up now. But they always had a Bible, and they used to shake it at you. God says, open your mouth and I will fill it with good things. In Romans 15, it says these words, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. The Holy Spirit was giving insight. The verse is Paul's reason of writing to the church in Rome. He says to his church friends, this church set in what would become a place where Christians would be killed because they loved the Lord. You know, Jesus, this is still happening in the world today. We've had people standing here who've told us about that, and it's very hurtful, very sad, and we should carry on praying for the church throughout the world, the Christian church, that is being persecuted because of their belief. Brothers and sisters, that you and I, they're full of goodness, and yet they can't worship the Lord as they want to. Derek stressed the importance to spend some time reading scripture, saying a prayer. It is so important, isn't it? And I know it's okay for me. I mean, let's face it, no one to care for except me and the dog. Some of you have timetables, you're at work, including work, you're caring for children, you know, caring for older members of your family. You've got a full timetable. When I used to have a full workload, I know this is going to sound awful, but I kept a scripture in the bathroom. And at least I had a small space of time where I could read them. They didn't know what I was doing in there, but who cared? It was a case of just having a little time to be with the Lord. He's not bothered where we are, as long as we're with him. In Philippians 1, verse 11, it's all about God's righteousness. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. The fruit of your salvation, my salvation, includes all the character traits flowing from a right relationship with God himself. We go out each day, don't we? You and I. And we have to show wherever we are or wherever we go, Jesus in action. That's a big deal. But we need to show the world the difference Christ has made to us. Like yours. Like my life. For the majority of people today, I believe, they just want someone to listen to them. And it can start with that. Let them talk to you. Don't hit them over the head with a big Bible. If they're in trouble, listen. Just because you listen, they'll understand. Derek, in his capacity as upcoming, well, chaplain. In strange ways, after a while of just being Derek, will be the guy that they will go to. You know, I was listening to I used to like porridge, and they were saying that the chaplain there wasn't much good. It was too much of a Bible, they said, and he wasn't listening. But you'll be the guy that they go to. You'll be the listener to the inmates. And we will pray for that situation for you, that the fruit of God's Holy Spirit will show and be in your life and theirs. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with your words, Luke 21 says. This is a wonderful promise of the Lord. He says, I will fill you with the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. The disciples were reminded, it's not going to be an easy task. Even family members, you know, they would betray, they would make life difficult, especially when you face persecution. But, you know, God's most Holy Spirit will stay with us always. He won't take it away. He won't take it back. He will comfort, he will protect and give us the words we need to say. And we have this assurance that will give us courage and hope to stand firm for Jesus, no matter how difficult the situation is. And God still says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. And we're willing right now to do that, to be brave enough to open our mouth and let God deal with us as he wants. Are we willing to go, oh? I leave you with a small story of a man. It's the General Gordon, General Charles Gordon, born in 1833 and 1885. He served Queen Victoria in China and elsewhere. But when he was living in England, just listen to this, when he was living in England, he would give away 90% of his income. 90%. When he heard about the famine in Lancashire, that's us, way back then, he scratched off the inscription from a pure gold medal he had received from a world leader and sent it up north, saying, they should melt it down and use it to buy bread for the poor. That day in his diary, he wrote these words, the last earthly thing I had in this world that I valued, I have given to the Lord Jesus. God has always called for his people to look after those in need. He was a wonderful man, this general, and he would die in the Sudan. He'd been told to go and try and sort out between two warring factions, just like today. And he went, and he was killed. He gave all he had. And God says to us about our wealth, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap it to the very edge of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time to pick up fallen grapes. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. No, we haven't got land, have we? Well, I don't think we have. Only what the house stands on. No, it's not even that. The Earl of Stamford owns that bit. But when you think about it, dear friends, let us just think that whatever we have, we can share with each other. So I pray that opening our mouth wide to God will be big enough to say, go on, Lord, fill it. Amen.